Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Can tell this, but we don't show prep, so so he had no idea.
I just barely make it in.
You know, I'm sure you can tell, but we don't show prep.
I mean, let's put the cards down on the table here.
Miami Hurricanes, yeah, you know the name already, it's Mercy, ha ha, it's a Six Rick Kane show, can't forget the name though, got Jazz, Blue Vision, DJ break the game code, ain't no changing them, ain't no breaking them, real port alive from the Hall Ride Stadium, ball 14 for the orange and green, we see the Six Rick champs, it's more than a dream, this is life on the field, beyond 100 yards, a hurricane that's never still, put a damage to your squad. The Six Rick Kane Show. The Six Rick Kane Show. The Six Rings Kane Show. You know.
What's wrong with us? Seriously.
What's wrong with us? We're Miami Hurricanes fans.
Welcome to the Six Rings Kane Show, a show dedicated to Miami Hurricane sports, featuring the legendary Larry Bluestein, Jazz Santana, Vish, and Danny Gillette. Let's go, Canes.
Who are you pleasantly surprised with?
I can't say Restrepo because he does that every game. So
well, that was interesting though, because I think people still, obviously we watch this team play week in, week out, and for years, like you said, we've been seeing him do this. And I don't think, because of the limitations of quarterback, you know, and some of the other things going around the program, people realized how good he is.
Yeah.
And well, then all of a sudden, you know, oh, now we've got, weapons around him. They're like, oh, wow, look at this guy. Like, he's been doing this, like you said. He's been propping up the passing game essentially for a couple of years now. So it's great to see him get that recognition.
By game 7 or 8, he'll be the all-time leading pass receiver in Miami history. And when you think about it, the Michael Irvins and the Andre Johnsons and such, that's not a bad thing. But I thought Barron, I think he's going to be one of the best in the nation. He's a freak. He's just, I was
blown away, Blue. I was blown away.
This guy's high first round draft pick. He will. He's just that type of player. Anybody, you know what? He was like that at Tennessee. I watched him at Tennessee and he was probably the same thing, but I watched him the other day. He was unblockable. And also, let me give credit to Zach Carpenter, because he was going against Mr. 500 pounder all day and, you know, leaning on him a little bit. Yeah, I agree, Parrish. I agree. I think he had a great game. There's so many guys missed the single out, but I think Barron definitely love to see the tight ends, as you know. It was good to see Dr. McCormick come up with a touchdown.
Yeah.
So throwing it to you, DJ, did Blue steal your thunder there a little bit, or?
No, I was actually going to say something different.
Took it all. I'm sorry.
Well, Gary did bring up McCormick there. So who do you got, DJ? And then Jazz is just getting out of his truck, so we'll have normal Jazz in a professional setting in a minute.
I don't know if there is a normal Jazz, but we'll go with that. Just kidding, buddy. But for me, it's Zay Horton. You know, we talked about a receiver that could kind of like step up and, you know, be that leader and be that playmaker in the wide receiver room that we kind of weren't expecting. And I remember Horton's name came up a couple times over the course of the preseason shows, and he showed his playmaking ability, you know, over 17 yards a catch, was able to get downfield. So I was very impressed with the work that he did on Saturday.
Yeah, no, and actually that was something Jazz had brought up as a topic. I think it might have been the last show or the show before that. You know, how much is he going to – because we figure Brown and Jacoby, yeah, obviously, are the three top ones. But, yeah, no, he was dead on. It was a good topic to talk about because he was – Horton was everywhere. And they were able to get all – it's pretty impressive, able to get the running game going with Martinez, with Fletcher, and with Lyle, and, you know, have Horton, Restrepo, Jacoby, and the tight end. Brown and the tight ends all make impacts. Like, that is – that's a lot of good offense to get have all that happen. I'm going to throw – so for me, I'm going to say Wesley Bissanth.
Oh, yeah.
A very big step forward. And that he'd flash that. He'd had good games in bad ones. That was – I was blown away. He was all over the field. He was in the backfield constantly disrupting. I, just to be honest, did not think he had taken that level of jump. Because, you know, Barron also was in the backfield like every play and then eventually knocked the Mertz out of the game. I mean, he was just that visible. But I thought Wes was just as visible. And you know, he's someone we've seen for a couple of years now. So it was awesome to see that career development. And, yeah, he also looks like a player on the next level. And I would say overall just the athleticism and physicality advantage. I mean, this is like an early 2000s Miami slogan, but bigger, stronger, faster was on display there. And that was across the board. I will also say the offensive line, I know Carpenter was mentioned. I thought UF's defense might give them a little bit more trouble than they did. They were able to open holes up. I loved how we were pulling linemen around. I saw somewhere, I'm going to find the comment, but yeah, I perish again. I felt like Dawson finally had confidence in his quarterback to really and his line to call something, because it wasn't just the quarterback. Like, the line was not great last year either.
I mean, could you blame Dawson on Saturday?
Well, no, I'm not blaming him.
Saying in general, like, I would too. I would open up the playbook, but
yeah, but he's able to now. I'm sure, like, yeah, you right. know, because we and frankly, a lot of people owe Mario an apology for a lot of things, but one of them is people fabricated that he was handcuffing Dawson on the playbook, not realizing, you know, the quarterback was limited and mistake prone. The offensive line was okay, but it wasn't what it is this year. And when you have those things, you are going to limit your playbook. You cannot just, like we did. I felt like we pulled linemen more in this game than I saw like the last couple of years, just, and including the touchdown that Fletcher had where we pulled Sam Brown around too. And I felt like you just had that confidence. And hey, these guys can execute. I can call what I want and it's going to work. And obviously that starts with a quarterback, but I felt the whole team was kind of there. As Blue said, Elijah Arroyo just finally healthy. And man, that's what we thought we had there. So it's just, it all kind of came together there. All right. I'm going to flip this around. Jazz says he'll be back on in a couple of minutes. We should see him momentarily so we can answer that. But while we wait for that, we can kind of do the next topic and he can do them both in sequence. But is there anything coming out of this game that concerns you? We'll go with you, Blue.
Wow.
I mean, there's some scenery here, some context in that Florida is really bad. And so, I mean, I think it's still impressive. If you play a power conference team on the road and push them around like that, it doesn't even matter that they're that's still impressive. But I do, I mean, we are going to play better teams than that. So there's that. Saying, there's that. But yeah.
You can't come away with that from that game thinking anything, but everybody stepped up. And yeah, I really don't think there was anything that they had to work on. I mean, yeah, get 565 yards of offense and only give up 238. I do think that DJ Lagway is going to be a problem down the line, though. He's a nice
guy. I do wonder for which program.
Yeah, maybe Miami, but
I mean, even if not, I mean, it's hard. Look, they're gonna be in the hunt for a new coach pretty soon. So, you know, the question is he gonna stick it out with the new coach or hit the portal?
I think that bottom half of the schedule is not friendly.
It doesn't, but this is where and this is some of the talk coming into this, right? Because it's both things. That schedule is rough and they stink. That's a bad combination. It's not just the schedule, though.
No, I know. I'm just saying, like, it doesn't.
No, they should I mean, win it, this week, though.
they don't. Samford.
if they don't, then they really have problems.
Yeah.
Right, but so this is some of what I'm talking about. Yeah, no, they have some athletes, but they're not. Just because you're in the SEC does not mean you're good.
Ask Vanderbilt.
Well, I mean, this is a whole other thing. I mean, if we can't win this conference this year, I mean, Virginia Tech was one of the dark horses. They couldn't beat Vandy. So yeah, it has opened up quite a bit. But I mean, look, I think the difference between the SEC and the other conferences, and I think we're going to see more of that now with this new playoff format, is they've consistently had two and a half, if you want to count LSU, of like the top five or six programs. So they're always in the playoffs. They're always in championship games.
Mm.
The middle of the road team, like South Carolina, is not significantly better than what we're playing when we like play Virginia Tech or when we play, you know, those middle of the road ACC teams. They're just not. And unfortunately for Florida, they're in that bucket now. They're in that lower echelon of teams. So they're not. I mean, this is going to be what, their third or fourth losing season in a row. Like they're terrible. And it's just the reality of where they're at. So to me, that's the only concern I would have, you know, to answer my own question, DJ, I don't know if you have an answer for this. It's just that they're so bad. We might be a little bit big headed and we're not going to be tested again for a few weeks at least. So, you know, what I wouldn't want is to go into like Tampa and like play a sloppy game against USF, cause we're kind of lose focus. I will say, and I still think we'd win that game even if we played like crap, but I don't want to see that. But I also will say this team appears to be a little bit different mentality-wise. Like, they have a lot bigger hopes and dreams than you know, just beating the crap out of Florida. So,
yeah, well, they'll get I think this could be one of their biggest crowds this week, because Florida A&M has one of the best followings of their Florida A&Ms in South Florida.
Yeah, I know. They got the band. Yeah,
they could get 50, sure. I hope.
Yeah, no, I think we'll have a good crowd up there. Let me get Jazz back in his homestead now. All right, Jazz, so a couple of topics we need you to weigh in on. First, anyone surprise you with how good they played on Saturday? And then second, is there anything coming out of that game that concerns you?
Okay. Who surprised me the most? I would have to say, as a whole, is our defensive backs. Meech Powell, Damari Brown before he got hurt, he was locked in, right? Like he was, there was nothing, you know, that he wasn't going to be able to kind of defend. And you saw that, you know, hopefully, according to some of the people, they say that he's going to be fine. He'll be ready to go again. But I guess they held him out for precaution, unlike maybe like Bain, who's going to be out a couple of weeks. But, I think Meech Powell was – I don't want to say he was surprising, but, you know, because he did start in the national championship game last year, right? So the guy's pretty damn good. But I just think that, you know, all the talk was that was our weak point, right? Who was it going to be? Was it Jaden Harris? Was it going to be Markeith Williams? Daryl Porter looked really good. Even on that PI call was kind of whatever. It's kind of crap. So I just love the way that our defensive backs played. OJ Frederick, as I told, I know we've spoken about this, but he was my guy back there. He got the start at corner, right? Like, that's huge. Freshman getting the start at corner, getting 29 snaps. And then some of the other guys, as I mentioned before, with Mish, with Markeith Williams making some plays on the tight ends when they were driving a little bit. The interception by both Mish Powell and Jaden Harris when he was on the floor. So, I mean, if he's not on the floor, I think he takes that back for a touchdown, right? So, I think the overall play of the defensive backs was really awesome.
Man, Campbell owed Mish Powell a block on that. That should have been a touchdown. He didn't hit the running back. He owed him a block. I wanted the Bo Sykes retro touchdown there, and he didn't get the block. He didn't put him on his butt. So the running back.
That's so true. I totally forgot about that. Yep, you're right. You're right. Concerning is
by the way, no one's come up with a good answer yet, so you're on the spot.
Okay. I didn't even answer, but I'll just pick no.
Okay. My most concerning is going to be Borregales. He's got to tighten up a little bit. He missed that one field goal, and then the other point after looked like he missed it, but apparently he's just snuck it in on the line drive. So I think maybe he needs to just kind of tighten up. I feel like he was just so confident and so loose that he was just like, let's go, right? I don't know. I mean, it's probably not a good answer either, but Borregales, tighten up.
Well, I will say, you know, he's one of the best kickers in the country. Yeah. He's been missing. He missed a few towards the end of last year. He's not, if you look at his percentages, you'd be shocked at how many kicks he's missed.
It's a really big one sometimes. Yeah.
Well, right. We don't have a lot. We haven't had a lot of big ones because we've been terrible.
I'm getting it along.
But but I mean, I think he could probably tighten up a little bit. We're talking about a college kicker. He's a weapon. Like, they're like, oh, he missed. Wow. And then if you look again, he missed 6 or 7 field goals last year. It wasn't like when his brother didn't miss a kick the entire year. Like, he hasn't been doing that. So there's a little bit he could. You know, hopefully we're not kicking many field goals, though. That's the
all of his kicks were touchbacks, though. That's a good thing.
Yeah. No, he's a great kicker. Like, that's why. I mean, we're nitpicking, right?
Yeah.
But, well, it was like Cam Ward, if he didn't, maybe he can't throw that one interception. You know, this is the nitpicking part of the show. You can tell this, but we don't show prep. So.
So he had no idea. I just barely make it in.
You know, I'm sure you can tell, but we don't show.
I mean, let's put the cards down on the table here. Illustrious. Lick your styles.
Miami Hurricanes, yeah, you know the name already, it's Mercy, ha ha, it's the 6-Rick Kane Show, can't forget the name though, got Jazz, Blue Vision, DJ break the game code, ain't no changing them, ain't no breaking them, we report live from the Hall Ride Stadium, ball 14 for the orange and green, we see the 6-Rick champs, it's more than a dream, this is life on the field, beyond 100 yards, a hurricane that's never still, put a damage to your squad, the 6-Rick Kane Show, the 6-Rick Kane Show, the 6-Rick Kane Show, you know.
What's wrong with us? We're Miami Hurricanes fans.
Welcome to the 6 Rings Kane Show, a show dedicated to Miami Hurricane sports, featuring the legendary Larry Bluestein, Jazz Santana, Vish, and Danny Gillette. Let's go, Canes.
Although I will say they kind of beat him up for throwing back across his body, as I said at the beginning of the show. He completed 4 or 5 passes doing the same thing for big yardage, so you can't restrict that and then, you know, take away all those other plays because you want you know, you want those plays. Yeah, and Mario kind of bet the house on that, on getting Cam in here. Yep. So
And look, as far as the cross the body throws go, some quarterbacks are more comfortable with that, believe it or not. And you know, it's obviously scary to watch as a fan because you don't like those, you know, riskier throws. But you know, for many quarterbacks now, that's the type of style they play.
Yeah. I don't even feel like they were that risky. Like for him, like it just felt that's his play. That's how he plays, right? He plays like that. He throws the ball from so many different angles. He, you know, he sees things that maybe others don't see. I mean, think about that touchdown that he threw to X on that skinny post / seam route, whatever you want to call it. Like, he's thread the needle there. You just don't see it in the angle that the camera shows. But if you're looking at it straight ahead, he's got one cornerback on one side. He's got the safety in the right behind him. So he's got to kind of, like, hit it right in the middle. If not, that gets picked off, and he's, you know, he's really good at that. So as slow as everything looks, you know, he threw that hard. He threw that with precision. It's impressive.
And he's decisive in his reads too, which helps a lot. The ball comes out. That's why he's able to. He doesn't always have to gun it to
right.
Because the ball is coming out on time. So if he needed, you know, if he needed to loft it, he was able to. Because again, the ball is coming out early enough. Where he is able to do that. Yeah, no, I mean, I think the only question coming out Saturday is, like, how bad is Florida? So not to – like, if we had done that to USF, I don't think we would have – you know, at USF is probably a tougher game, just to be honest. And so
– I don't know. I
think Florida is that level of bad.
Yeah, very I don't think that – I know I've told you this already. I don't think they're that bad. I just think that Miami is really freaking –
Oh, no. I think both things can be true. Sure. And that's why the game was a complete. Jazz and I watched the game together. And when Cam Ward jawed out of bounds on the first drive, I'm like, this game's over. We're so in their head. Well, it started midweek. We actually didn't talk about this because this happened after our show when we ruined their wideout by wearing all white jerseys. This whole thing was just a mental, like, we're going to mess with them. And I don't think they ever recovered from the way that we were just overconfident and just kind of went in there to dominate them and did it from the first snap. So
it was. I just don't understand this whole.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I mean, I guess I do understand it because those guys over there in Gainesville are delusional, right? I mean, we're, you know, we've had our moments. Canes fans have had our moments where we're pretty damn delusional. But, like, to sit there and literally say Graham Mertz is the better quarterback, Cam Ward, and, you know, our defensive backfield sucks, and, you know, their wide receivers are better than ours, and, you know, Boardingham, because he's been there 12 years, is better than Arroyo. And it was just like one thing, their linebackers, you know, are way better than our linebackers. And look, man, they've got some players. I'm not going to diminish, some of their guys are not bad, right? Like, they've got some pretty.
Now, Eugene Wilson's as good as anybody in the country.
Yeah, Trey Wilson, that kid can play. That kid, Montrell Johnson's really good.
Oh, player. Yeah, great back.
Okay, and in the backfield, their DBs are not bad. Jason Marshall, obviously, we all know who he is. You know, and some of the other Sharif Denson and some of the other guys that they have are not terrible. Shamar,
no.
The kid that got the pick, Like, some of those guys are talented players, TJ Searcy, right? Like, some of those guys are pretty damn good. They so much for having the five-star number one defensive end, LJ McCray, and that guy didn't see the field not one time.
No, not once. He was banged up, too. That's why he didn't play.
Gotcha.
But that's all right. I thought the best sign I saw all night.
But, you know?
Huh?
He wouldn't have made a difference, but still, the point is.
No, they wouldn't.
No.
Was just too much for them.
Yeah, the whole game.
The sign I saw yesterday on Twitter or X says Miami, the best team money could buy. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? Why don't you go see Ohio State? Why don't you go see Oregon, who just spent $4 billion? Georgia. That's trash. That's trash.
No, it's the last refuge of the lost. Like, they've got nothing else.
Yeah.
No, I mean they literally played I Won't Back Down after the third quarter, then left the stadium immediately because they don't know what irony is. So this is who you're dealing with. So they're gonna go, oh, your stadium's on campus. They're gonna talk about that. They're gonna talk about we bought the team, and they're going to win three games this year. And that is Well, I mean, this is the problem. Look, so Jazz, where's the delusion coming from? I mean, we've been there, right? I mean, but they're now in the dead man walking part of the phase. Like, this is when we brought back Al Golden for a fifth year because we were too cheap to fire him. You already know he's failed. And so you're sitting there and you're like, this isn't going to work.
Yeah.
And eventually the bottom fell out 58-0 and he got fired, right? But that fifth year, especially, we had lost a bunch of games that in the previous season. And it was like, this, how do you not fire him after that? Right? Come back for another year, same, and just a continuation. And they should have fired him. They didn't. And so now, yeah, they do have a few talented kids, but they're few and far between in terms of what, when you think UF and where their talent level should be. Like, and this is big time football we're playing here. Like, they should be getting, you know, best of the best. And they're just not. And so, other than a handful of guys we mentioned, right. And then you have a coach that everyone basically knows is going to get fired, trying to recruit, trying to hire assistant coaches. Who's he getting in there? He's getting his old buddy that he used to coach with, because that's the only guy that'll show up. He's getting Dan Enos. Like, this is what happens.
Did you saw see him up in the booth? Dan Enos in the
he's up in the booth.
Freaked out. I was like, what is Dan Enos
doing? No, but that's what happens when you don't have a head coach that has job stability. Because people are not going to – the only people that'll join you at that point are ones that are like, I'm never going to get a chance to coach a program like Florida again.
Right.
I got to take the shot. Maybe it'll work. But, like, the bet – like, if you go try – like, normally Florida can attract – in fact, look, we can talk about how they failed as head coaches. We're watching Boston College, right? Adazio came out of that coaching tree. Mullen came out of that coaching tree. Because when it was Urban Meyer, there was stability. Charlie Strong, right? That's the type of assistant coach they can attract when they're healthy, but what they are right now is a disaster. And so you saw that on the field. Like, they're not just, it's not just the top, they're poorly coached because they don't have good coaches because they can't attract them right now.
Adazio was a disaster too. Let's be clear. He
at BC.
At
my
BC.
Point is they were grooming coaches that became head coaches elsewhere. No one's hiring anyone to even do the same job they're doing at UF at another school right now, let alone promoting them. Like, this is a mess. So.
They're already talking about their top five options for next year. So
yeah, so that's the only thing. So back to Miami, that's the only thing to temper. That was such a miss. I mean, that is what I thought was going to happen, but just seeing it in real time, it was stunning how much of a mismatch that game was just from the opening snap. And so, you know, we are going to play several teams, even with we do have a weak schedule. We can be blunt about that too, but even with that weaker schedule, we're going to play several teams that are better than Florida. And so we are going to have to, you know, stay focused. And it's going to be a long slog of a season for us to maintain this level of intensity and play, given that a lot of the teams don't look good on paper that we're playing, to be able to continue to maintain that sharpness. Because that was the one thing, too. Like, from the opening snap, we were so sharp. The tackling, first drive of the game was they tried to run a reverse on third and short and gang tackled in the backfield all the way through to, like, you know, making acrobatic catches, throws, like dropping throws, and everything was so sharp. It looked like we were in our midseason form. Now you got to maintain that for 16 games.
Yeah. It's rough.
So three playoff games and the ACC championship. That's a lot. That's a lot of football to make it through, right? So
the truth is, you gotta look. I hate to make this, an example, but same thing kind of went for FSU last year. Right? A lot of people talked about how their schedule wasn't really tough. They won that one good big game against LSU at the beginning of the year, and then kind of cruised through for the most part towards the rest of the year. But look, man, you got to win all the games that are in front of you. Bottom line, right? You got to win the games. And as you mentioned, like our schedule is on paper right now, it doesn't look great. It looks kind of soft. But that could change, right? You can get these teams like the Syracuse of the world. I don't know how they did this weekend, honestly. I kind of missed the game, but
I think they won.
They won?
Yeah.
They won.
That's a good program right there, right? They got a good quarterback, well coached, good wide receivers. They've got, good tight ends. They've got a lot of promise there. So that's a team that could turn around and be really good, right? I think Louisville. Those teams could be better than we think
they
are.
If you look at our road games, at Louisville, it's not easy. At Georgia Tech is not easy. Yeah. At Syracuse, not easy. I don't know what we're doing playing at USF. That game should be at home. Right. What are we thinking? Like, that's we'll actually, frankly, probably have as many, if not more, fans.
Is that there a home than and home?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but why are you playing? One.
Alabama got the home and home with them. They played Alabama played there last year.
Yeah.
And now
I don't know what we're doing there, but that's one where we probably will have more fans than them or even amount. So won't be that bad, but that's just, all that's mileage on your team. You probably don't need, it's not as easy as it looks.
Cause
we talked about this, like we're going to Berkeley, we're going to Syracuse.
Right. And you don't leave the state for the first 4 weeks.
Right,
so
right.
That's not bad.
Right, but it's multiple in-state road trips, though. Like, you didn't need.
Yeah, but they're
UF is different. Like,
hour ride. That's it.
Well, no, it's like four to Tampa. We'll take.
No, but they flew.
Yeah, they'll fly.
Yeah, but that's the whole thing. Like, going on the road is still, you have to go on the road, even if it's. And again, that's like all I'm saying is that's like an unnecessary thing to then have to turn around and play Virginia Tech 6 days later. I know they lost to Vanderbilt. It's still a rivalry game, and you're doing it on a Friday. There's some weirdness in the schedule that I would say makes it a little bit more challenging than it looks on paper when you see, after FSU gets done here, we're not going to have a ranked team left on the schedule. So,
unless some of the other teams kind of jump in, but yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Louisville should be. They're
and
not.
Maybe Georgia Tech if they keep playing.
Yeah, yeah. But. So, I mean, there's better these teams are better than they look. So we got to just maintain that level of.
Did Georgia Tech play this weekend?
Yeah, they won.
Yeah, they won.
Going to Berkeley is absolutely nuts. Like, just hearing that sentence is crazy.
But they're off the following week, so.
True. It's just.
Well, yeah, and there's, and again, that's the bonus of having Virginia Tech on a Friday is 8 days before you play Cal, so you get an extra day there, too.
True. It's just crazy to think about. Like, this is
crazy to think about is they're going to Ireland and then playing the next week.
Yeah. Yeah.
They got that Irish stew. Money is the thing.
But, it would be less of an issue doing things. Like, I don't understand how Georgia Tech gave up a home conference game.
Didn't make any sense to me.
Like you just said, because of this.
Right, but, like, especially with the new playoff
format. Aer Lingus paid them $1 trillion.
Aer Lingus.
Aer Lingus. They're going to be an Aer Lingus facility.
Aer Lingus in the Guinness.
Ever. It was Aer Lingus.
I'm assuming it's Irish for something that's not as profane as it sounds in English.
Oh, man. Anyways, I think, by the way, have you guys even brought up the whole thing at the end of the game with the recruiting?
Oh, with the recruiting.
Yeah, we haven't done that, but.
Yeah, we have not. Go for it, Jess.
So wait, so is that even, you guys are probably
legal?
Is that even legal for her to be doing what she was doing, right? Which is number one, put your hands on them. You don't put your hands on anybody, number one. Number two, they're in the stands. And by the way, Booker Pickett is cousins with DJ Pickett. So if he wants to go up to him and say hi to him, that's his family anyways. You go by and say hi. Justin Scott knows all those guys really well as well. So a lot of those players went over there to say what's up to them. Yeah, I mean, I get the what it looks like for them, but can they legally be like, hey, you guys can't come over here, get out of here, pushing them away, giving, you know, doing all everything that that lady was doing, is that even legal for her to do, and or is it legal for us to do, right? I guess on the other side.
I think if the shoe was on the other foot, Miami would do the same. Not in that way, but they would make sure that the other team didn't infringe on their recruit.
They probably wouldn't be stupid enough to have them sitting right next to the tunnel.
Yeah.
Don't understand why they put them in, because it was the same, like when Homeboy went into the bushes and disappeared into them. It was right in front of all the recruits, and you could sit there laughing at him. Like, it was, I don't know, why are they not on the UF sideline? Like,
I don't
understand
that.
What they're doing. So to me, like, that's poor.
They baited them into it. Like,
no, yeah, but I mean, like, why would you have them sitting in the end zone on the, like, because that whole
it's
area
also kind of unsafe. Yeah.
That's where the Miami Road fans, they put them too. So they're all sitting, like, they're one side of the tunnel, and then looping around is the Miami fan section, and then right in front of them is the recruits. Like, there's going to be interactions then. I don't understand why they're not like, we put the kids on the sideline. Like, what do you do? Why are they in the stands?
So it was their fault too for not.
Yeah, no, they should. They should have. I mean, they should have planned that out better. I'm assuming that's where they always put them. But
I heard Mario. Did you hear the interview? He said. He said, I think before the game, he says, yeah, and they only gave us 4,000 tickets. Should be a. I think that's a crime.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he said that, and then so did. I think Radakovic as well talked
about
that. Yeah,
that's poor, man. That's
they were apologizing to our fans because they're like, how come there's no tickets? And they only gave us 4,000. So
that's poor.
And we didn't even take the band, I think, to free up more space. So
giving Florida A&M more this week.
Yeah, because normally we take the band if the band can drive. But this time they didn't take them because there was
no room.
They only gave us, so we should give them nothing next year.
But the best part of Saturday will be A&M's band, so that'll be have to hang out for halftime and watch that. Plus, they got 18 kids from South Florida.
Well, you know who the starting running back is, right?
Yeah. What's his name that was here last year?
Bad Franklin. Franklin is.
And their starting quarterback is Daniel Richardson, who is from Carroll City. So
there's some.
Yeah,
you know,
but
they'll give us a better game than UF did.
Jazz, what do you think?
Team with the pulse.
This should be a 50,000 attendance, because you're going to have a lot of people that want to see Miami in person for what they saw the other day. Plus, Florida A&M's largest population of graduates are here in South Florida.
Yeah, you're gonna get a good crowd. That band.
I hope so. I really do.
Look, honestly speaking, look, that band is awesome. Number one.
They're great.
Number two, FAMU is the defending national champions. Yeah.
They're number one in the nation in the HBCU poll.
They might be better than Florida. Let's just
they may that. Be better than Florida.
They might be better than Florida, right?
I think UCF is going to go up there and beat Florida. They play them in 3 weeks.
That's a good.
I mean, we should definitely like have a Billy Napier like getting fired watch on the show, because he's not going to make it to the end of the
like
year.
The Al Golden.
I mean, that one. Al Golden was lucky enough where there were some soft games in the middle to keep it. I mean, if they had opened with Clemson that year,
shoot.
I don't know how we would have gotten to week two.
I don't think this is your typical.
Yeah, no, Kermit. Our fans showed up big time.
I still think
I agree, Kermit, but they only gave 4,000.
Yeah,
I think a lot of the fans kind of wiggled some, you know, tickets from other people.
We've a lot more than 4K found.
Oh yeah,
there, but they
only gave 4,
which is ludicrous.
I agree. We'll see. It should be fun though. Yeah, you should get a good crowd.
Yeah, no, there'll be a good crowd out for
night games.
6 p.m. is a good time for the game.
Yeah,
too.
great time.
Ball State will be a little bit probably deader. 3:30
in
the heat. No local angles, as you said. There's a lot of Florida A&M alumni in Miami too that'll show up.
Sure.
So. Should be a fun game. And they cheer for Miami when they're not playing FAMU. So it's
the only guy who'll show up for the Ball State game will be David Letterman. So
Jason Whitlock.
Yeah, Jason Whitlock.
Those are the
Ball State alums. We'll talk about this, I guess, next week, but they're, you know, last year we opened Miami of Ohio, who's from the same conference. They won the MAC last year.
Yeah,
like they're actually a good Ball State is one of the worst teams in the MAC, so plan accordingly.
This was
get some stats padded. Get those stats padded.
Ball State is making a lot of money on that game. So
sure.
Yeah. I mean, that's just the business.
So is Middle Tennessee State, but that doesn't mean.
Okay. All right. Let's look. Look, man. We've turned a corner. I don't even know. I've used the Men in Black brain eraser thing. I don't remember anything before last Saturday. Whatever happened before that didn't actually happen. We won the Rose Bowl, then some stuff happened, and then last Saturday.
Then I woke up. Yes, last Saturday. What a bad dream. That'd be a good commercial to make.
The Six Rig Kane Show. Yeah. The Six Rig Kane Show. Yeah. The Six Rigs Kane Show. You know.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.